Are you finding that in your circle of friends that there are more people who are starting to self-identify as either atheists or agnostics, so opting out of religion?
Yes. Almost all my friends aren't so much opting out as we weren't raised that way anyway, I'm afraid. I am an atheist, I have been for always.
Because your parents never, exposed you to church, forced you to follow
religion?
No,
I was
religion?
Exposed to it vigorously, but I didn't take, ever.
and that's a reason why. So what's the word? There's nothing inherent in Christianity that you are violently opposed to. It just never took. You were never grabbed by all of it.
I have to say my most pressing thing was, I matriculated in 1990, so I was vigorously exposed to the nationalist Christian education. And I always used to find it extremely unrepresentative of me and anyone I knew. So I didn't find it worked for me. And I find the same with most religions. They tend to be a bit intolerant. And that's why I don't mind if people want to be religious. I just prefer to stay away from it all, and I prefer them not to talk to me about it too much.
Well, I'm about to talk to you about it now.
Are you? Oh, no!
Well, I was brought up Methodist, right? So, and Methodism, I suppose, still resonates with me. I've been invited by a number of people to other forms of churches. I went to a Catholic school for 3 years of my primary schooling. So I've been exposed to other forms of Christianity, but Methodism is the one that still resonates with me. And Alan Storey is the church minister at the Central Methodist Mission in Cape Town. And he and I had a conversation about this the one time. And he said to me once that there's often this pressure that if you are, a devout Christian, that you must be at church every Sunday, you must be there every Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday, whenever the other various societies within that church congregation meet. And he said to me, he wants to really see church more as a petrol station. You sort of visit when you're out of petrol.
Pop in when you need to.
Exactly.
I did go to church all the way through high school. So I've been a Methodist. I've been a Catholic. I've even been to the Mormon church. I'll always go once.
At least once.
I'll go once with you anywhere. But after that, then you can't talk about it anymore.
But what I find amazing about his approach to it is that it forces me to realize that God is everywhere, not just contained in this marvelous building that was built however many years ago. And it doesn't require you to continue to go every Sunday in order for you to be Christian, because you are Christian all the time, not just Sunday morning between 10 and 11:30 when there happens to be a church minister in front of you. So, and that resonated with me. It really, really did. So,
yes, I agree with you. I think that one finds one's humanity, which is a form of God, everywhere, and one must be a good human being. And churches are among my favorite things. Whenever I travel overseas, I always go to the churches because they're filled with the faith of millions of people over many years, and so they have a power of their own. I just personally don't have that belief system in that system, of where you believe a certain set of things, because I find them problematic. But I do think that there's value for those who find value, and they must take what they need, but without disadvantaging others who don't want to be subjected to their particular state of intolerance.
And I think that is key, because I have a lot of friends who are checking out of religion, but I have a lot of friends who are also unbelievably becoming more staunch in their Christianity. And every second word that comes out of them is trying to co-opt me into their religion. I go, no, that's not why we're here. We're having a conversation about something else.
That's what I dislike the most. Yes. I must say that does wind me up.
Ah, understandably.
Being co-opted.
Danny Boyle, I thought, did a wonderfully charming job in this movie yesterday.
Oh, delightful. It is delightful. Richard Curtis is a true romantic writer. I mean, really. If you think back on the stuff he's done, I mean, About Time was also a bit of nonsense about a man trying to capture recapture that moment so you got it right. And this as well, this is just like, I mean, it is nonsense. Like, there's a blackout and suddenly the only person who can remember the Beatles music is Jack Malik. But he does, it's just glorious. I enjoyed every minute of it. And the music is so fantastic. You actually forget how many truly spectacular songs the Beatles wrote. You actually sit there and think, wow, oh yes, I remember this. So in every way, it's a lovely, lovely film.
I suppose some of the criticism leveled against it, I think, has everything to do with the unfortunate timing of its release. So Bohemian Rhapsody did very well, not only in the box office, but certainly in the awards season. Obviously, there's the Elton John movie that also is spectacular in a very different way. And people are seeing this in line with those movies, which I thought unfair.
Very unfair.
In both the writer and the director, you've got two people who absolutely admire the incredible music of the Beatles and found a vehicle to pay tribute to it without telling the Beatles story, if you know what I mean.
Exactly. And I must say, I think that's what's so smart about it, is that it's a what-if scenario. And I mean, they're always good fun to have a what-if. And one of the things I really love, which I won't give away, is a few of the other things that also disappeared in the global blackout. So I would like to see a film about a couple of the other things that disappeared during that same blackout where only Jack can remember the Beatles songs. But I agree with you. I think that's what's nice about it. It isn't a story that could ever happen. And so it is a bit of fun and nonsense. But what if? And I do think there was a lot more to explore in terms of music, in terms of the numbers of bands that might not have existed in the same way if the Beatles hadn't come first, because, I mean, they were a huge phenomenon in their time. So he could have explored that more, but I think it was more a story about Jack and how he had to work out what was really important in life. And obviously he's a struggling singer who suddenly finds a way into fame and fortune. And I did love every minute of it, I must say.
It was absolutely, absolutely amazing. And I suppose any kind of movie that pays tribute to a popular musician or band allows me as the viewer, as the watcher of that movie, an opportunity to have that popular music or piece of song interpreted in a slightly different way. And we did get elements of that in this movie, didn't we?
Yes. I mean, what's his name? Hamish Patel, who played the lead, he actually did all his own singing, all his own guitar playing and all his own piano playing, which I thought was pretty impressive. And of course, this movie does have Ed Sheeran in it, which for Ed Sheeran fans, they'll enjoy his sort of role in this as a guy who has to come to terms with the fact there's a better songwriter than him around. What he doesn't know is that the guy's actually ripping off the Beatles. But it is great fun to watch Ed Sheeran in this film as well. It's another little reason to go and see it. It really is smart and clever and nonsense. Of course it's nonsense, but you've got to go in to enjoy the nonsense.
For me, yet another reason why I enjoyed the movie so much, because even in Spider-Man, for example, Far From Home, there is a sense that there's, you know, a world that needs to be saved. And of course, any good movie will have references to some of the contemporary issues. So you think about the global war trade that is going on at the moment and the nonsense that our politicians are up to and world leaders and so forth and so forth. Whereas for this one, you just escape. You don't worry about anything in the world. For, I don't know, nearly 2 hours that you are in the auditorium.
Absolutely. And as you say, and you can also just sit back and just let the music wash over you, enjoy it. There's no great crisis here. The only crisis is that the music of the Beatles is lost, but he's found it, so it's not even a crisis. And the couple of things that are lost are not that bad. And that you're right, it's actually a real piece of escapism in a different sort of way to the way an action film is. There's no biff bang. It's just pleasant. It washes over you. And I think we've had a lot of action. We've had a lot of animation. And this is just a complete step change. It's beautiful. I enjoyed every second of it.
And thankfully, Americans have seen reason and have gone out to support this movie in numbers. It continues to be in the top five. I think it's a third week of release in America. It's only our second week of release in South Africa. Yes. Do go and watch it. Yesterday, directed by Danny Boyle. Gail, before I let you go, are you looking forward to The Lion King?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I see everyone is looking forward to it. I see the whole of my daughter's school are being taken on Friday.
The whole school?
Yes. From not the little ones, sort of grade four, grade threes and up, I think. They're all off to see The Lion King.
Oh, my word. So is it like just a... it's school outings. We used to go to museums and planetariums.
They're going to watch The Lion King. I know, don't you wish you were at school now? None of those dusty old museums for them. They'd like go and see cool stuff like Lion King.
Oh, my word.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that, I must say. There's been so much hype. It's going to have to live up to what it's promised now. So let's see.
It will be very different to certainly Beauty and the Beast, which I think has been the best of the films, quite frankly, that have taken the animated series and turned it into a live action movie. Aladdin is doing very, very well in America. Still, in fact, I think it might be the highest grossing movie that Will Smith may have been involved in. I think I stand to be corrected, but it's certainly close enough.
Oh, wow, that is big news. I hadn't heard that. I must actually have a look. I must say, Aladdin, I've seen it twice because my 10-year-olds, my nephew and my daughter loved it so much we went twice in the same weekend. So the kids must be loving it. I enjoyed it too. Well, but I'll be very interested to see if The Lion King has that kind of power over them where they want to go again.
Except I think the fact that they're using animals in this one might not, like the cute factor is going to be experienced the first sitting of the movie, and then that'll be it. Because cats are cats. They can't be emoting emotion, surely.
No, it'll be interesting. That's why we're all fascinated to see. There really has been such a build-up. So here we are. Let's see if they deliver.
And we'll be talking about it next week, Gail Edmonds.
Indeed.
Thank you very much for your time. Managing editor and film critic at City Press. The movie we reviewed this morning is Yesterday, directed by Danny Boyle. A charming, charming movie starring Himesh Patel and Lily James, as well as Ed Sheeran, making not only a cameo performance, actually, but quite an important and very funny role in this movie. So do go and watch it if you have not done so already.